Right.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew, the first chapter. And I was accused, I can't understand it, of having this early service so I could get all the money before Santa Claus got it all. Now, I don't know who would make a charge like that. But Matthew, the first chapter, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So Mr. Modernist, Mr. Unbeliever, I want you to stick your nose down real close and just read that. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the Christmas message right there. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Hey, let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Father, we thank you today for this wonderful opportunity to meet here on this Christmas Eve as we contemplate the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We don't understand all the mysteries, but Lord, we believe them, and we rejoice in them. And we thank you that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, did come, did die, did come out of the grave, did ascend back to heaven, and shall come again from whence he went. We thank you for the gospel story this morning. Lord, bless our hearts as we have sung these songs and we'll hear the word about the birth of Jesus. And may we, Lord, may we be captured with this great truth of what Christmas really means. And may we never get away from it the rest of our days on this earth. May it influence our living. May the Christ of Christmas, Lord, influence our living every day of the year. And so speak to us through thy word. Somebody here not that don't know personally the Lord Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. May they open their heart and invite him to come in to stay today and be their Savior. And Lord, may we all rededicate ourselves to serving him during the next year until he comes. Now, Lord, anoint me and defeat the devil. Have your way. Remove hindering spirits. Make it easy for us to get something from thy word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, we've seen again this year the perversion of the real meaning of Christmas. We have seen the crass commercialization of Christmas. We have seen the overemphasis on gift giving and Santa Claus. And Christ, I'm afraid, is not the one, number one personality of Christmas. I'm afraid that Santa Claus claims that spot. He should not be there. He's an imposter. Jesus is the reason for the season, but I'm afraid that in our homes, maybe in churches sometimes, we emphasize Santa Claus above the Lord Jesus, which we should not do. And then Christmas, as you know, for many, is a time of partying and drunkenness and dancing and so forth, and the wrong emphasis on Christmas. A number of years ago, I was coming through Knoxville right before Christmas, and I never will forget and it still burns me up to think about it. And I almost took mine off my driving on the interstate there when I saw this and could have wrecked. But there, a big whiskey bottle on the sign along the highway, beautifully decorated, with a ribbon around it, and the caption under it was, "No fair sipping until Christmas." Now that got my feathers ruffled up, to say the least. And we see other signs like that, where certainly is a wrong emphasis on Christmas. One sign said, "Christmas is wishing." Well, that's sort of silly, far as I'm concerned. Well, me knowing the message of Christmas. But old Dr. M.R. DeHaan, and by the way, Dr. DeHaan I have great, great respect for the writings of Dr. DeHaan. He is with the Lord now, and he is one of my favorite authors. Get every one of old Dr. M.R. DeHaan's books. Now, there's a lot of other DeHaans. There's his son and grandson, but old Dr. DeHaan is the one I encourage you to get. Get all of his writings. They'll be out of print in a few years. Get everyone you can. He was a solid biblical conservative, and you didn't have to worry about Dr. M.R. DeHaan being in and to the left. He was solidly in the conservative, Bible-believing, fundamental camp. But this great man of God, this great saint who's now with the Lord, said Jesus is the forgotten man of Christmas. And folks, I'm afraid he's right. And amidst all of our Santas and gifts and decorations and feastings, let's remember just why we celebrate Christmas. It was a time, as we read here in this passage, when God came on the scene. God with us, Emmanuel. He came on the scene of human history in the form of a baby boy born to the Virgin Mary. So Christmas really is what verse 23 says, God with us. God coming in flesh. And verse 18, Matthew starts off this section on the conception of the birth of Jesus by saying, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise." And so let's look at the birth of Jesus again this morning, and I think it'll be profitable if we'll just let the Holy Spirit take the word and just clinch to our hearts and our souls the great truth surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there were many supernatural manifestations surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years before Christ, the Holy Spirit told the prophets of old some of the secrets concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning his birth. And these prophets of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the prophets of old prophesied under the anointing of the Spirit of God concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord sent John the Baptist to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. And right before Jesus and John were born, Mary visited Elizabeth. And the Bible says that when Mary visited Elizabeth, she was carrying the Lord Jesus, and Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist. And when she came into the presence of Elizabeth, the Word of God says John the Baptist leaped in her womb. John had him a shouting spell before he's ever born. He's a shouting Baptist before he's ever born. And then here in Matthew, the first chapter, the angel of God appears to Joseph, who was concerned about his bride-to-be, that she was already with child before they came together as husband and wife. And the angel of God said, "Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And then over in Matthew, the second chapter, we see another great supernatural event surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God hung out that great star, and the wise men followed the star and were guided by that star until they came to Jesus. Then over in Luke, the second chapter, Luke 2 is one of my favorite passages concerning the birthday of Jesus. And it describes that in the night Jesus was born, that as the shepherds you don't have to turn to it unless you want to, but I'm just referring to it. In the night that Jesus was born, the shepherds were keeping their sheep, watching their sheep out on the Judean hillside. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord was all around about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said, "For them to fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the angels told these humble shepherds that they would find the babe. Isn't that beautiful? Wrapped in swaddling clothes. My Savior wrapped in clothes. There found in a barn. And laid him in a manger. In a stall where they fed the cattle. My Savior condescended from heaven's glory. And came down into a cattle feeding stall. And that's where the angel said, "You're going to find our Savior." And then, after they announced the birth of Jesus, then that angelic chorus sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." After we survey all of these great supernatural manifestations surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to say with a Roman soldier, truly, this was the Son of God. Then, let's notice the method, as I've already emphasized a little bit here in reading this, the method of his birth, a great supernatural method of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth was announced in the Garden of Eden almost 4,000 years before his birth. In Genesis 3:16, God said the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's, the devil's head. And I believe that's on out in the future. Now, the serpent bruised the heel of Jesus. That was on the cross. But on out in the future, Satan is going to be incarcerated in the bottomless pit and the lake of fire. So one day, the seed of woman, now I don't want to get off on that prophetical aspect, but the point I'm emphasizing here, back there in Eden, it was announced that his birth was announced that he would be the seed of woman, and Jesus was the only person ever born who could be called the seed of woman. And then 700 years before his birth, the prophet Micah, under that leading of the Holy Spirit of God, said he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Tovah City. And then the prophets also were told by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote that he would be of the house and lineage of David. Now, there are a lot of other supernatural events surrounding the birth of Christ, but certainly the greatest miracle connected with the birth of Christ has to be his virgin birth. He had a human mother, but not a human father. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that which is conceived of her was of the Holy Ghost. That's not the intellectual thing to do today in most circles, academic circles, to accept the virgin birth. And one outstanding preacher said, "I don't know of one intelligent minister who accepts the theory of the virgin birth." Well, if that's so, you can count me as one of the non-intelligent ones and one of the ignorant ones. I plead guilty. If believing the virgin birth makes you non-intelligent, then that's my crowd. That's my crowd. That's crowd. I accept it. I believe it without hesitation. You understand it all, preacher? I said, "No, but God's word said that which conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost, and I accept God's word." And boy, you know, you'll never get in trouble, folks, if you just believe God's word. If you can't understand it, just go ahead and believe it anyway. You do a lot of things you don't understand. You're going to eat, or you've been eating, if you're like me, this Christmas holiday. And I haven't yet, but before you leave, Father Lasby will absolve you of all calories before I leave here today. I'll do that for you. Brother, I'll tell you, that's one of the byproducts of coming to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church now. I take care of all the calories around the holidays for you. But anyway, I do without hesitation accept the virgin birth with no reservations, I believe, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many reasons. Let me just quickly, I'm not preaching on the virgin birth. Let me just give you quick, I want to let you out for 1 or 2 o'clock today. I know you got that meal and got a lot of you traveling, but let me just briefly tell you why I believe in the virgin birth. Well, I've already told you the Bible teaches it right here. That's enough. That's enough. I won't even go into that. The Bible teaches it. And in verse 22 and 23, it says that all this was done that it might be fulfilled what the prophet said, that behold, a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So I believe it first and foremost. The first reason and the major reason is because the Bible teaches it. And then another great reason is that Jesus claims it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The only begotten. He said he was the only one ever physically begotten of God. Now he's not. Now the RSV and some of the other liberal versions say he gave his, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's a lie. Because I'm a son of God. And you're a son of God if you're saved. Well, the angels are sons of God. The Bible says in 1 John, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We who are saved, we're sons of God. Not now, I mean not later, but now. We're son of God now, and we'll be a son of God while the ages roll. So it's not he gave his only son, his only begotten, that he physically begotten himself, by himself. And the angels were present when they laid the foundation of the world. The sons of God, it calls them, were present when the foundation of the world were laid. So we are sons of God. But Jesus was the only begotten of God. And then, without saying, this is certainly, if you believe historic Christianity, you know Christianity demands the virgin birth. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, folks, we might as well throw the Bible away. Might as well throw it away, because it teaches the virgin birth. And Christianity is fiction and fable without the virgin birth. But the main thing I want to get across today is this, and the great supernatural mission of his birth. Now, in verse 21, the word of God, the angel told Joseph what his mission would be. And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he, Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. He didn't come to change society, though no one has ever had an impact on society like the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come to change history, but primarily this morning, that wasn't his main reason, primarily to change history, but all history centers around the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the ever event that transpires, either B.C., or A.D., before Christ or after Christ. And he didn't come to establish a denomination, a church organization, but many church denominations have been organized to preach salvation through his name. He didn't come to bring peace to this troubled world. If he did, he was a failure so far. That was not his primary purpose right now, to bring peace to this world. That, folks, will take place at his second coming. He's the coming Prince of Peace. And he had a greater mission for the present day than just peace on earth. And brother, if he came 2,000 years ago to bring peace and so there'd be no war, no fightings, and no strivings among people, he failed. But he's not going to fail. He's the coming Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace to our troubled soul at his first coming. At his second coming, he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then there'll be peace. Brother, there's peace everywhere. There's war everywhere on the globe tonight, or this morning almost. But one day, there'll be no more war when Jesus comes to reign. But the mission of Christ, the Christ who was born on that first Christmas morning, is summed up here in verse 21. And it's summed up in his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. I like that word, don't you? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its, what, sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth, Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love, what a name, Jesus. What a name. Jesus, every day the same. The precious name of Jesus. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a name. And folks, that name, notice the angel said, Joseph, call him Jesus. And down in verse 25, when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, Joseph obeyed the angel.